Hey, if we haven't met, my name is Dan, and along with my wife Gab, a couple of years ago we felt God call us to plant a church, and here we are, sitting in a school hall on December 17th with a whole heap of wrapped up presents and some Christmas carols and plenty of treats. It's a good time. So, hey, can I just ask a favor? If someone's at the back and there's still treats, could we just maybe logistically keep moving those around a little bit? That would be really helpful, because, you know, I'm an adventurous eater, but I'm definitely not going to try and tackle 50 minced pies by myself over the next couple of days. So if we could just maybe grab those baskets and thanks, Peter. Take some out to the other parents and stuff as well. Thank you. Brilliant. Yeah, thanks, Matt. Just move them around. Awesome. Hey, welcome everyone. And this morning we are going to, we're doing an Advent journey together here at Central Vineyard for the last couple of weeks. Advent is just basically, how do we make room for Christmas? How do we make room for the arrival of Christ into our lives? How do we become more aware? How do we notice? And we've been doing this over the last few weeks by just looking through the Christmas story and picking out a few key words. The key words we've been looking at for these last 2 weeks was first the word arrival. We looked at the arrival of Christ, and we read this list, this genealogical list of just the heritage of Jesus. 14 and 14 and 14 generations of concrete, tangible, historical people who made the arrival of Jesus a tangible, historical arrival moment. It was a fascinating thing. And then last week, we looked at joyful. We looked at Mary's song, the Magnificat. And we looked at this explosion of joy from her. And this joyful song at what was happening with the arrival of God in her belly. And today, to finish 2017, today as we're gathered, it just seemed right with 100 good gifts and with Christmas carols and with all of the vibe in the air, I guess. Let's talk about blessing today. Let's talk about what blessing is. Let's talk about the blessing part of the Christmas story. And I had a moment this week which really woke me up to a moment of the Christmas story. I've been reading the Christmas story in its whole over the month, as you might have as well. And the Christmas story is not just up to the moment that Jesus was born. The Christmas story continues a little bit further than that as well in the scriptures. And I want us to look at a little moment of that. And the reason I felt like it was a good thing to do today is because of this guy. Oh. You're looking at the newest member of Central Vineyard. His name is William Keyworth. I'm not sure, I don't think James and Nick are here today, but this is the youngest of the Central Vineyard family. Just in the last month, we've had 3 babies born in this church family. So there's been 3 of them. And I went and visited the Keyworths this week, and I popped in and I was talking to James for a while, and we were just making small chat as the jug was boiling and stuff like that. And then Nicola came out with William, and she came into the kitchen and she said, "Oh, do you want to hold him?" And to be honest, usually the answer is no. I don't. And for those of you who are my friends who are parents, you'll probably know that that's been my response. It's like, no, you did that. It's yours. All right? You keep it. But there was something about, I think it was just the fact that I was immersed in this Advent journey that we've been on this month. There was something about this baby that was like, you know what, actually, I would like to hold him. And so Nick passed me William. Now, I'm not getting clucky. It's just a metaphor, guys. It's an opening analogy of a talk, all right? It's all this is. Passed me this little baby, William. And I had his little head was just here in the palm of my hand. And his body was along my forearm here. And I had this hand under his back and shoulders and around his, like, because he's so small. Like, I could just.
So this.
Okay? And he's just there. And in my left hand, I can feel his breath in his lungs. I can feel his whole body lifting and dropping. And he had this moment of yawning where he kind of wriggled and he's like, ah, you know, and he kicked at me. And I just had this moment of holding William in the literally in front of me. And Nick and James were saying all kinds of things, but I honestly can't really remember them. Because all I could think was, wow, you are here now. You are here now, William Keyworth. You are here now. And there's this moment in the Christmas story where we move from like theology and ideas and prophecy and all of these concepts, we move into tangible, real baby here, now. In fact, we even go a little bit further than that and we move to a little moment which is the week after the baby was born. 1 week old. This is what the scriptures say. Eight days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. And then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required to the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. And so when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms. And I can just imagine, as I was explaining this before, I can imagine the breath in the lungs of Jesus as he is, and Simeon is holding him, going, wow, you are here. And look what he says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. He prophesies and speaks to the pain that she will go through one day, watching as her son is killed on a cross. The gift being complete, that the gift here in her arms and his arms is actually here for a purpose, and that purpose is coming. He prophesies it and prepares it. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple, and she was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. So she bumps into this moment. And she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There, the child grew up healthy and strong. And he was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. I just want to recap and break this down a little bit for you. Firstly, it starts by Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to receive a blessing that they are meant to receive purely by the law, a blessing that's been in the system for generations and generations and generations. When you bring your child, have him circumcised, that he will be an Israelite, then you will also do these other things here and God will bless you. It's just token. It's just been done by all of the boys of generations and generations and generations of Israelites, okay? So at one level, they're just going through the ritual, going through the system, going through what they're meant to go through. But it doesn't stay that way. It doesn't stay that way because the story, there's two other characters who show up, Simeon and Anna. And when they show up, all craziness starts to happen because they start to see something that is worth seeing. They see not just a baby who's arrived at the temple, they see the recognition of fulfillment. They see, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, the arrival of Jesus the Messiah. They see prophecies coming true. They see Psalms being fulfilled. They see all of these things being wrapped up here in this child. The Holy Spirit is moving. Things are being said. Things are happening. And so what happens? He actually declares this thing. He is a light to reveal God to the nation, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. He declares this prophetic statement over Jesus. And then, did you notice it? He then turns to Mary and Joseph, and he blesses them. And he gives them the word. So he's blessing God, then he blesses them. So they came to bless the child, and then this guy Simeon's blessing God, and then he blesses them. Like, there's this big sort of triangle of blessing going on. It's getting very messy. And then Anna shows up, sees all of this, and she starts praising God because she's seeing what's going on. And it's just this big pile of blessing, this pile of activity of people praising God, blessing each other, giving each other words, all sorts of stuff. And then I love that last phrase. What's it all for? And God's favor was on him. God's favor was on him. What's the fruit of blessing? God's favor is on you. So what does all this mean? And what has this all got to do with Christmas? Well, first of all, what I just want to say quickly to make sure everyone's on the same page is that if you're reading the Gospel of Luke during Christmas, Luke is trying to make a really big point. The ultimate blessing of God has arrived. We can't get any bigger than this. This is God incarnate. This is a big deal. The ultimate blessing of God has touched down in Jesus Christ. See, this is the Christmas moment. It's not that cute little picture of, like, you know, a baby and, oh, look at the baby. No, it is a radical, aggressive, furious act of the love of God. That the arrival of God would come through the humility of a baby into the suffering and brokenness of this world and find presence here in history, arrived once and for all. And Simeon and Anna spot it. They see it. Do you spot it? Are you like Simeon? Are you like Anna? Are you able to see this for what it is? For the last 2 weeks, I've been creating some space for you to reflect and make sure that you're seeing it. I hope you're noticing it. We're not just celebrating a cute little holiday here. We are celebrating and gathering around the arrival of God, the incarnation. A big deal. Because a blessing is then that it would then bless and go further. This is how blessing works. And the reason that that's so important is because the Hebrews had a key lens to see the world. They had a way in which they saw everything between God and them. And it was found right back at the start of their story in Genesis 12, where God says to Abram that you will be blessed and I will bless you, but you're also blessed to be a blessing. That you would be a blessing for the nations, and through your family line, the world will be blessed. See, blessing works like this. Blessing is not something that we just get and have. Blessing is that it would then be passed on. This is what's going on here with this story, and that's why there's such a muddle of blessing earlier. Because here's Jesus in their midst, the ultimate blessing, and it's creating all this other blessing as all this other stuff's going on in their midst. This is what blessing does. Blessing is given so that it can then be passed on. So what is blessing? I've used that word so many times. Cam's used that word for like several weeks now as we've been talking about blessing people with these good gifts. What is blessing? Because so many of us will be thinking different things. Are you talking about a Ferrari? Are you talking about a good life, an easy life? Are you talking about financial success? Are you talking about, what do you talk about when you are saying blessing? Here's what the scriptures are saying when it says blessing. It's two words mainly. The first word is the Hebrew word baraka. And the second word is the Greek word eulogia. Now what these words speak of, first and foremost, that what these words are trying to convey is here we are in the tangible, the real, the flesh, right? Like, everyone take your right hand and pinch your left arm. Ow. Because it's real. There it is, right? You can feel it. It's tangible. Okay? Here we are in this world, in this history, in this moment. Yet, sometimes there's things that happen and they're not just what these hands can create. And they're not just what these words can say. Sometimes something else is at play. Sometimes something else shows up. Sometimes the kingdom of God is present. Sometimes the word of God is present. Sometimes his presence is present. Sometimes there is this sense of the spirit meeting the flesh. And that is what these words are trying to say. It is when the spirit and the flesh collide. It is when something just outside of you meets you. It is when you have that moment of going, oh, I didn't do that. It's blessing. It's bracha. It's eulogia. And here's what it's predominantly talking about. Goodness. It's talking about goodness. Often in the scriptures, it's contrasted against curse. Sometimes there's a curse against you. Sometimes there's things that are destroying you. Sometimes there's things that are just, for some reason, you can't get this to work. It's cursed. Sometimes it's in its sweet spot. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's full. Sometimes it's just abundant. It's goodness. And that is what this word is predominantly speaking about. It's the goodness of God's presence on you, in you, with you, close to you. Are you with me? This is what blessing fundamentally is in the scriptures. It's not stuff. It's the closeness of his presence. And the other thing that it is that it's a gift. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. It's not something we earn. It just comes out of the blue sometimes. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. What a blessing. Wow, I couldn't have made that happen. What a blessing. I didn't do that. What a blessing. This is what the biblical picture of blessing is. The biblical picture of blessing is a tangible, good gift. And some of you are like, those things. We called them good gifts. And some of you now are like, good gifts. Yeah. Because the point is not that they are just a hamper. The point is that they are a tangible, good gift. The point is that we give them away to someone who's on our heart, undeservedly so. Someone who hasn't done anything to earn it. And we're just going to give them this good gift. We're going to give it to them. And that's why we put so much effort into making sure that they are beautiful. And that's why we put so much effort into making sure that they have luxury to them. We're not giving away just something simple here. We wanted to give something good. To tell of the blessing of God. To retell this story. And because this is what it's all about, remember, a blessing is not just for having, it is for passing on. Blessing has this nature to it. It is received and given. It's in, it's out. It's like when I was holding William, his breath was in, his breath was out. That's what makes him alive. See, blessing alive is not just in. Blessing alive is out, in, out, in. It's not have a Ferrari, get success. That's just in. It is something to receive, something to pass. That is what the biblical picture of blessing is all about. Now, there's two big barriers in our culture at the moment that would rob us of seeing that. The first barrier is consumerism. Consumerism, a billion-dollar industry of advertising and marketing to make sure that you know that if you upgrade your phone, you're going to feel better about yourself. To make sure that you know that happiness can be found in what you buy. So that you know that if you earn this, you can spend this, and you're going to feel better, more complete. You're going to have that thing that you're looking for. Consumerism is a barrier to how we can see blessing. Because what it says is, it's good to receive, so I'm going to do my best to make sure that I can make that happen. I'm going to spend what I have to get it. I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to get that. I'm going to make sure I have that. Which is not what blessing is at all. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. It's grace. So our consumerism lens that we have now. See, we come to church with it all the time, don't we? We come to church and we're like, I'm ready to consume. I'm ready to have some stuff given to me here. I'm ready to learn. I'm going to grade this. It's the consumerism lens that we are now cooked with. That was a mashing of metaphors. I'm so sorry. It's the consumerism lens that we've put on our eyes, and we see the whole world through this now. We're so used to this. This is how the world works. This is not how the kingdom of God works. God is not some cosmic consumable. God and his body is not something for us just to take from. We can take from it. It is an offering, but it must always be given away again. That is what it is if it's alive. And we have another barrier that comes up against us with this thing of giving away. It's hoarding, which is not what you get will make you happy. Hoarding is what you keep will keep you happy. What you have will make you happy. What you keep will make you happy. So many of us live with this. So many ladies, wardrobes, shoes, one in particular. Hey, I have not ribbed you all year. I've been very nice to you, all right? It's the last gathering of the year. Just once. Our life with God is not one of keeping, it's one of giving away. We have to start to destroy these two barriers that we have. This one of what I get will make me happy and what I keep will keep me happy. And we have to realize that the nature of the kingdom is that it's not about consumerism or hoarding, but it's a life on the other side of that. And that's a life of blessing. It's this in and out life. And how does that look? I want to leave you with this picture today of an absolute beautiful, beautiful idea. It comes from a guy called Dr. Johannes Hartel. He said this: if you give someone something and they say to you, oh, you shouldn't have, what a waste, you can actually say to them, correct, that is the right answer. Otherwise, it isn't a gift. He goes on to say this: that is precisely what a gift is. It's a beautiful waste. Right now, you might have some presents under your Christmas tree. Right now, you might have something tucked away. Right now, there might be something somewhere, there might be something with your name on it. I don't know. It might be a really nice bottle of scotch. Hint, hint, hint. It might be Manchester Orchestra's new album on vinyl. Hint, hint, hint. I'm not hinting at her, I'm hinting at my family. It might be Lego for the kids. It might be that book. I don't know. I don't know what's wrapped up under trees for you right now, or stowed away in cupboards for you right now, or you're hoping. Here's the reality of it. The whole thing is a waste. It's a waste. Because here's what's going to happen. Whether you open it or not, whether you get it or not, the sun's still going to come up on December the 26th. You're still going to have air to breathe. You're still going to have a life to live. Perfume is beautiful, but we don't need it. It is a luxury. It is a beautiful waste. See, what makes the difference between all those things just being a waste is the fact that they are given. It's the giving that changes everything. It takes it from just being a waste, and it gives it a reason, and it gives it a momentum. It changes it from just being a waste to a beautiful waste. It's a gift. A gift. As the people of blessing, we must become the people of beautiful waste, who retell God's generosity with our own lives. We retell it with the things we do. We retell it with the acts of our hands, the words of our lips. We retell it with our actions. We too can be people of generosity. I want to remind you of something that we started the year with. If you weren't here at the start of the year, then you would have missed this, but we started the year with a series called Faithful Presence. Does anyone remember that? Yeah, some people remember that, good. Faithful Presence was a series we started the whole year with, which took a really bold look at what does it mean to be a blessing in our city today. Are we just doing this so we can just learn some stuff and get together and enjoy a church service? Is that the best this is? Really? Or is there a purpose to all of this, and it's that we then go and live this blessing into the world? Do we really believe that? Well, this series explored that for like 12 weeks or something. We just pulled the scriptures apart. We had a good look at what the mission of God was. And this is what we came up with. It was that we are to be a faithful presence, that what we have received, we then gift and give and retell into the world. That is the normal Christian life. That is the normal kingdom blessing in action. That is what it is to breathe in and to breathe out. That is what it is to gather and to scatter. That is what it is to be part of the kingdom of God today, is that we would be a faithful representation of God's blessing into our world. There it is again. We can't just take in, we have to breathe out. And today we're celebrating Good Gifts. Good Gifts is a campaign, that an initiative that so many of you have given to financially. So many of you have given time on Wednesday night to wrap and to put together. Jenna, did you do that one with the massive? That's terrible if you did that one. You sure? That's been bugging me all morning. I've been like, nice, nice, nice. What is that one? It does. We'll deal to that one after. That is all cellophane. That's all cellophane. It was you. Stop projecting it onto someone else. These good gifts, again, this is us trying to retell the story of a good and generous and loving God. Some of you are going to take these to people this afternoon, and they're going to look at you with that look of like, why? That's the point. That's the point. Generous, merciful, loving, undeserved, that's our God. That's the Christmas story. None of us earned this, yet it's happened. Historically grounded, arrived, done. We just respond. And I've got a lot of good news to share with you, is that, now, hang on. For those of you who don't know, this is 17 Mercury Lane. 17 Mercury Lane is a place we've been looking at for about 2 weeks. We've been negotiating. We've been working hard with the landlord. We've come to an agreement that we can have this next year. We have to get some stuff across the line tomorrow, which is stuff like one last signature and some money in a bank account. And after that, we are putting in plans to spend our summer painting it, getting it ready to go. This is going to be community hall. This is going to be community hall. And community hall is going to be a beautiful waste. Because we're going to put in about a quarter of that, we're just going to make it a room for prayer. And some people are going to think, that's just such a waste. Why would you commit time and energy and area to just prayer? Because it's a beautiful waste. Because we believe that to give our time and our energy to the presence of God is a really good thing to do. Because he's worth it. Because he's worth our attention. He's worth us coming and worshiping him and spending time with him in his presence. But it doesn't get anything done. Oh, it gets a lot done. It repairs our identity. It heals us. It brings us into a correct perspective. We're going to spend a bunch of that area is going to be dedicated to growing gratis from not just being one night a week to 5 nights a week. Where we're going to have a space of connection for all the people on K Road and in that city who need food, conversation, someone to talk to, someone to listen to. We're going to create a connection space right there. Some might say that's a beautiful waste. We can't meet on that on a Sunday morning. We can't come. That's not very convenient. It's a beautiful waste. We're going to have a big area which is just empty, and it's for you to do whatever you see. It's for whatever you dream of. However you want to connect people, however you want to host people, however whatever party you want to have, whatever seminar you want to put on, you can do that there. And that's why it's called Community Hall. No, we're not going to gather there on a Sunday. We're going to keep doing this. And this is hard work. Every week people arrive and put out chairs and put up the sound gear and set it up and pack it down. And everyone has to work harder because we do it here. But this is a beautiful waste. Because this is us being missional people in the heart of our city. And this is what it is to be blessed, to then go be a blessing, to have flesh on, to incarnate that on Mercury Lane in the heart of our city. And so tomorrow, we want you to keep an eye on your email. If you sign up to our email, Facebook and Instagram. We're going to be putting some stuff out once it's fully across the line, once we've got that last signature, and once we've got the money in the bank account, it's all done. We're going to be announcing it, and we'd love you to celebrate it with us. It's been a big couple of weeks getting this to happen. We're so excited about it. God's been amazing in the process. And our hashtag Pray for Elliot has been incredible. We sat down with him yesterday, and we gave him a thank you gift, and we talked to him, and we invited him to church. He said, you know what? I will come. Because there's something about what you guys have been doing with me. It's so different to the people I've been working with all year. I'll come and have a look. Faithful presence, good gifts, a beautiful waste. This is what it is to be people of blessing. Some of you are thinking, man, I really thought it was about asking God for stuff. Yeah, it is that too. But it's always with this in and out of giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And so I want to ask a reflection of you today, like we've been doing for the last 2 weeks. So, Anthony, do you want to come and play some piano? Set the scene. Set the mood. And we've been lighting candles while we've been doing this. The reason we've been lighting candles is because this is a tangible, real reality at the front of our church when it lights. Oh, man. Come on. Keep playing, Anthony. Now we're away. Yeah. Let's applaud the guy who lit a candle. Hooray. Now, the reason we do that is because it's real. It's tactile. You could come. You could touch that flame and it would heat you. You could come, and if you are in darkness, you could let it light in front of you. And it's a symbol of Christ. The Christ who arrived. The Christ who touched down. The Christ who was present in humanity. And I have a question that I want you to roll around for a few moments. It's a celebratory question. This is not a conviction question. It's a celebratory question. It's a year of reflection. It's a point of our year to reflect. And I want you just to roll around the activity of nearly 365 days. 365 days of coming and going. 365 days of work, of relationship. 365 days of conversations. 365 days of getting paid, 365 days of overcoming addiction, 365 days of working through that thing that has been haunting you, that demon that has been attacking you, 365 days of trying to fix the thing you did wrong, 365 days of trying to overcome the thing that you're limping with, the darkness you're struggling with, 365 days of pursuing Jesus, the best that you might be able to that day. And I want you just to think for a moment. What's been a beautiful waste for me this year? Like how have you wasted your time for the sake of the kingdom? Your time was precious this year. Did you know that? And do you know next year you're not going to get it back again? So when you waste your time for the sake of Jesus, when you waste your time for the sake of the kingdom, he receives it and he multiplies it and he blesses it. Did you know that? How did you waste your money for the sake of the kingdom? Some of you might be looking at these thinking, I paid for one of those. Awesome. How have you given financially? Have you bought into just a consumer life this year? Or have you become someone who looks out for that, doesn't want that, and has become generous this year? How have you used your money as a beautiful waste this year? And finally, how did you waste your energy for the sake of the kingdom? How did you get involved? How did you sweat, bleed, participate in what the kingdom of God is doing? Who did you have around your table and you cooked for them? Who did you host? Who did you talk with? And it was awkward, but it was a good awkward conversation to have had because God was in the midst of it for some reason. Who did you spend energy on? How did you spend energy this year? So I want you just to think for a few moments, just a quiet reflection. You might like to take your phone out and jot down a few notes. You might like to take a photo and think, I'm going to come back to that later on. But just for a moment, let's just have a think. And whatever you're holding and celebrating in that moment, here's the encouragement I have for you today. God takes it. He's pleased by it. It gives him pleasure that you would participate like that. That you would spend yourself in that kind of way. That you would grasp the blessing that you have received so much that you would then give back in the way that you could. Because that is what it is to breathe in and to breathe out with blessing. That is what it is to have lungs today. And I want to just charge you with one last thought. We've been doing a second reflection question these last few weeks, but today it's not a reflection question. It is an action. The action is this. Go and be a blessing today. Go and be the presence of a blessing today. And then tomorrow. And then the day after. And for all the days of your life. Go and enjoy receiving the blessing of God and being the blessing of God. Go and be light in a city that needs it. Go and be salt in a city that needs to taste it. Go and be a blessing. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. So we stand, God, and we stand as an action for saying yes to this. We stand to say yes, that we want to go. We will not stay here in these seats, but we will go. And we're all going to different things now. We are going to different circumstances, different contexts, different places. Some of us are going to places that are full of hurt, pain, and hardship. And God, I believe that you send those of us who are going to those places there to be light, love, grace, empathy, and compassion. Mercy, kindness. Some of us are going to go to things now that are celebratory, things that are finishing the year with a party. And I believe that you call us to go to those things and be joyful, to be generous, to make the most of them. But God, wherever we're going, we go acknowledging that you are Lord. And you have blessed us to be a blessing. That we are to be a faithful presence, however that looks, wherever we're going. So God, today we receive your love afresh. We receive the things you speak over us. God, would you quiet our ear to the whispers of the enemy who would tell us other things other than that you are loved, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have been given a reason to be here, a purpose to exist for. And God, we open our hearts now to whatever's ahead of us. We go, we go, we go. As we go, Lord, we pray you'd give us rest from our striving. Give us rest as we come to the end of a year of working and we have summer breaks. We have to go and enjoy the beach and visiting family or visiting friends. God, whatever that looks like, we know that you are in the midst of that. You are the Lord of the Sabbath. So we welcome your rest afresh. And God, may we spend this summer getting ready for a year of being a blessing to our city. Thank you for the work you've done. Thank you for the things that you have prepared for us. Thank you for this place that you have for us. And we just pray you'd prepare it further, that we could be the best faithful presence that you've called us to be in 2018. So thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for the love of the Father. And thank you for how real and incarnate the Son is. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' resurrected and glorious name. Amen. Amen. Go as light into a city that needs it. Take these beacons, these torches, and light it up. Go and do whatever you can to bring the blessing of the kingdom of God near to you this year. Amen. Go, 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 go. Now, only do that if you reserved one, all right? Wait around if you want one. There might be some left over.